Bless the Lord. Good morning again, everyone. We are so glad to be here in this men's Sunday as we are ministering to the glory and honor of the Lord. And I'm particularly glad to have all the men who are here with us in this service. We bless the Lord for you, and we trust that God will bless you in a way where He will give you a word, something that will lodge inside of your spirit so that you will have your mind stayed on Him. So glad to have all of you. Bless the Lord. We're going to read for our lesson today from 2 Kings chapter 6. If you have your Bibles, turn to 2 Kings chapter 6, and I'm going to read from verse 1. To verse 7. It would be nice if you have the King James Version, because that's what we are going to read from today and always. So it is 2 Kings chapter 6, reading from verse 1 to verse 7. To continue to monitor our phones so that the noise coming through it will not affect the broadcast. 2 Kings chapter 6, 1 to 7. And the sons of the prophet said unto Elisha, Behold, now the place where we dwell with thee is too strait for us. Let us go, we pray thee, unto Jordan, and take thence every man a beam, and let us make us a place there where we may dwell. And he answered, Go ye. And one said, Be content, I pray thee, and go with thy servant. And he answered, I will go. So he went with them, and when they came to Jordan, they cut down wood. But as one was falling a beam, the axe head fell into the water, and he cried and said, Alas, master, for it was borrowed. And the man of God said, Where fell it? And he showed him the place. And he cut down a stick and cast it in thither, and the axe and the iron did swim. Last verse. Therefore said he, Take it up to thee. And he put forth his hand and took it. Here ended the reading of the word of the Lord for us today. Bless the Lord. I trust that you are able to follow the reading in your Bible. We have not heard or seen him for a long time, but we are glad that Brother Barker's son, Matthew, is with us. And we want to especially welcome you, Matthew. We trust that God will continue to bless you as you continue to look to him for his support and his strength to both you and your family. Bless the Lord. Hallelujah. I'd like to minister to us today under the topic, The vision don't mean we have to own everything, but it needs everyone. The vision don't mean we have to own everything, but it needs everyone. I'd like us to ponder over the thought. We don't have to own everything in a vision for the future, but we need everyone to be a part of it. We are told here from this passage that the school of prophets that was established there in Israel, in this particular location, the prophets came together and said that the place where we are having our meetings, it has grown too small because we have more people coming in. And as a result of that, we are cramped for space. And they discussed it among themselves as the thought came to surface. And they said to themselves, we will take this to the servant of God. We will take this matter. We will take this vision to God's servant and to get his blessing on our thoughts. So we are told in verse 1 here in 2 Kings chapter 6 that they, and this is at Gilgal, there are many other locations that we that the sons of the prophets would have stayed. But at this particular place was Gilgal, and it was close to the other section that they were thinking about going. And so they go to the servant of God in verse 2. And they presented to him the vision that they have, that it is time for them to move from where they were, because the company has grown and the place is too small. And the sons of the prophet, I'd like to explain to all of us, in those days, that prophets were being trained, servants of God were being trained to operate in the house of God, trained to take on the responsibility that would be offered to them by the priests, trained to be useful servant in the presence of God, and also to be a mouthpiece for the Lord at different moments in the tabernacle and at different juncture as they continue to serve God. So these prophets were being trained by the senior and master prophets of the day, which in this case was Elisha. Elijah had left. Elijah was taken up into heaven. And so the mantle fell on Elisha to continue that particular work. In fact, the school of a prophet had started with Samuel. Samuel was the founder of such school. And it went on all the way down through Elijah. Now it is in the hands of Elisha. And so they went to Elisha and told Elisha their vision, that the place has gotten too small, and they think that they should move from Gilgal to Jordan, to erect a new building so as to house the amount of people who are coming in to the school of the prophet, so that there will be room for every person to operate comfortable. And what we are told in verse 2 is, let us go, we pray thee, unto Jordan, and make thence every man a beam, and let us make us a place there where we may dwell. And he answered, go. The servant of God said to the prophets, go ahead. He gave his blessing on the vision that they have, and he encouraged them to go ahead. Go to Jordan and make such a house that everyone will dwell in there, and the work of the Lord will continue. But despite all of that, despite all of that assurance that was given by God's servant, one of them were not altogether sure that the servant of God is 100% with us in the vision. So he went back to the servant of God according to verse 3. And one said, be content, I pray thee, and go with thy servant. And he answered, I will go. Hallelujah. Now, this is a difference between verse 2 and verse 3. In verse 2, the servant of God tell them that they should go ahead, go to Jordan, and build this new house that will house all the prophets in the service of the Lord. But in this case, as one feels that he was not altogether satisfied that the servant of God is going to be there with them, he went back to the servant of God and explained to him how important it is, not for them to go, but for him to come along with them. And in this case, Elisha said, I will go. Hallelujah. This reminds me of something happened in Exodus. Moses was summoned to the Mount Horeb, and there he met with the Lord, and there was this discussion. The commandments was written and all of that. And Moses said to the Lord, unless you are going with us, unless you are going to be with us, don't send us. Don't let us go by ourselves. The children of Israel he was referring to. And in Exodus 33, verse 14, we read there where the Lord said to Moses, I will go with thee. Hallelujah. That is assurance that he is going to be in their company. And here the sons of the prophets are assured that God's servant is going to go with them to Jordan for them to build this new building in service of the Lord. Because this is a vision of the moment. They have caught this vision and they would like to see it come to pass. And they are receiving now the blessing of God through his servant that they should go, and not only that they should go, but I am going to go with you. This is confidence, church. And as long as we are in tune with the Lord, we need to listen to his voice. And I encourage every one of us here, every one of us, in your devotions, in your quiet devotions, try and listen to the voice of the Lord. The Lord might be saying something to us that we ordinarily will overlook. But you might come across a situation in your life where it requires a vision. It requires some thought that will change it for the better. And the one who have the answer for it is the Lord himself. And he will whisper in your ears as to what to do. But if you're not really paying attention, you might miss that vision. We might miss that vision. So I encourage us, as we read God's word, pause. Pause. Let us pause to listen to the quiet voice of the Lord, to hear what he's saying to us. And we are being challenged here as a church, apostolic church in America, to even apply this vision to ourselves. To apply, in their case, the place was too small, they declare, and they need to move to a new location. In this case, Jordan. We ourselves are on this platform, and as much as we are enjoying the blessing of God and the presence of God, we don't think that this is the end of where the Lord wants us to be. We are pursuing under the guidance of the Lord a new place. A new place where we can have fellowship together. So we would like to apply this vision to us as well. We might not have everything. We may not own everything for the move. But one thing we know is that every one of us need to be in the vision. Every one of us need to be a part of the vision. The vision needs every one of us. The Lord said, the servant of God said, I will go with thee. What an assurance. In agreement. And not only that the assurance is given by the Lord, but it involves everyone. Look on what happened there in verse 2 again. Let's go back there. And let us go, we pray thee, unto Jordan, and take thence every man a beam. This is engagement. The word is saying that not only that everyone agree on the vision, but everyone now has committed to work with the vision. It was that every man is going to take a beam with him as far as the building of the new sanctuary is concerned. Over there in Jordan. Every man, with the exception of none. And I would like to, at this very point here, make an appeal to all our men right here on this platform today. All our men who are listening. And we must understand that there are many of our men listening to the service, even though we have not heard their voices. Many of our brothers listen to this service, and we have not heard their voices, and we would walk away to say that they weren't here. But from time to time, I bless the Lord for you who are a part of these services. But today, especially, I'm going to appeal to all of us, men, as today is Men's Sunday in the Apostolic Church. You heard Pastor Fiani make mention of that earlier. Not because you heard Sister Barbara did praise and worship and that solo. Sometimes we engage our sisters to be a part of what we do on a Men's Sunday. And we bless God for her ability to come in and do what she did for us today. The Lord bless you, my sister. But I'd like to appeal to all our men folks who are listening now. Let's become a part of this vision. The vision of getting engaged in the service of God. The vision of identifying yourself in building something to glorify God. Every man, the Bible said to us this morning, occupies himself with a beam, with a log of wood, in order to raise a new building in the interest of the Lord. How can we remotely get involved in this building? There is a website. There is a telephone number. There is an address. We are on this platform and we open up the service from time to time for different people to pray, for different people to give testimony. Would love to hear your involvement in the building of this new place for God people to worship. Get involved with what we do here. And as we engage ourselves as a church to find a place where we can worship together, it requires finances. We're going to ask you to get involved in the area of helping us financially. We would like to pay down, and somewhere, when we eventually see it, that's why we are planning to have a concert, that we might get that deposit money, so that we'll be able to pay down and somewhere to start to worship together in a place in Miami. So we're asking for your financial help as well. Sister Barbara, at the end of this service, we'll give you all those information as to where you might go and help us financially. The Bible said every man had a beam. Because what? They have received the vision, and the vision is taking them somewhere. And I heard Pastor Daly in his ministering. I heard him inching towards this on more than one occasion. The last time he was here, he ministered and he spoke about the power that we have within us, the power that we have within this frail body. We don't seem to realize it. Hallelujah! They receive a vision. They act upon the vision, and they encourage the servant of God to go with them. And the servant of God committed himself to go with them in order to execute the vision. And every man was involved. And I'm saying that we might not ever have everything. We may not have everything, but we need everyone for this vision. And then there is the section where it calls for collaboration. So last month, I think it was last month, or it could have been the month before, we heard our sisters came here and they ministered. And the word for the day was collaboration. Collaboration, a working together for the same goal. A people of like-minded vision. A people who have the interest in the same thing. And shortly after that message on that Sunday morning, we went to a seminar at New Divine in Fort Lauderdale. And the servant of God from Canada, he conducted that seminar. And the very word collaboration was used. And I remember what he said as he started using that word. He said, if a horse, if you have a horse, and that horse on your farm, and the horse is able to pull 8,000 pounds by himself, when you put another horse beside it, it is not 1,600 pounds alone that both horses are going to pull. They are going to pull upwards of 32,000 pounds. The combination, the working together, the unit, a purpose, makes the job lighter and more effective. Collaboration. So it is calling, the church is calling for collaboration. All of us need to get involved here. The sisters decided they are going to act upon that word. And what I discover, every night, they know, almost every night, four nights per week, they usually meet from 11 to 12. In the middle of the night for prayers. Praying for the church, praying for people who request prayer, praying for different things pertaining to the kingdom. But as a result of that word, they decide that they're going to introduce something else. Every Friday night, they start at 12 and they pray right up until 3 o'clock in the morning. That's a new trust as a result of the word that was deposited. The word collaboration. And we need to take this now to its broader level. That's where we involve everyone to be a part of this mission, this vision. Faith! Let's bring faith into action, church. Every vision of God has an underlining element of faith. The word tells us that without faith, it is impossible to please God. Every vision of God has an underlying level of faith. That's why I said we don't have to have everything. We don't have to own everything when we start. But we need everyone. Faith will produce the rest. Faith will produce what we don't have. We cannot go without it. And we will see that in a little while. We may not have everything to start out with, but we need everyone. Just like you might be thinking about your business. This is applicable in the secular world as well. You might have a business and you're contemplating what's the next move. First of all, what did they do? They listen to the voice of the Lord. And then they make their move. And then they ask God's servant, what he thinks about it. And they were satisfied that ultimately, not only that God's servant said that they should go ahead, but God's servant said, I will come with thee. But I'm saying to the church today, when God gives a vision, we are to also Be mindful of the fact that the enemy does not like that vision. Anything comes from God, the enemy will always seek to oppose it. And here is no exception. Look at what we read in verse 5. Go to verse 5 with me. That is 2 Kings chapter 6, verse 5. But as one was falling a beam, the axe fell into the water. Let me stop there for a minute. As this prophet was falling a tree, the axe flew off the stick and fell into the water. Look out for the enemy. Look out for the enemy. He will try to stop the vision. He will try to stop God's work. He will try to stall things. It needs to be covered. You and I and the business and the church operation needs to be continuously covered by the presence and the power of Almighty God. Well, you may ask me, Bish, you may ask me the question, if God was in agreement with them moving from Gilgal to Jordan, if God had really said to his prophet, go with them, if God was in it, how comes God did not secure the axe properly and the stick so that in the middle of the work, they lost power? You and I try to figure out God from time to time. And I want to tell you this humbly today. It is about time we stop figuring out God. Because it is impossible to figure out God. It is impossible to know God's next move and for what purpose he does it. Contrary to your thoughts. In fact, the word says that as high as the heaven is, so is his thought. Higher than our thoughts, and his ways are higher than our ways. He does things for the purpose of his own good and will. You and I keep wondering as we try to figure out the next move of God. His axe fell off the stick in the middle of the work. I just imagine what happened there to the servant. He was surprised. He was downcast. And maybe he was in machine because others were still working while he was there. Not working. All he had was a stick in his hand. And I want to tell you that this sometimes is the church. This sometimes is the church in our society. We see so much evil creeping up in our society, and the church at large don't seem to be able to do anything about these evil that are coming on the land. Why? It appears as though we only have a stick in our hand and the power is lost. The power fell off the stick. The church in general. For it, we would not have so much evil. And we are begging, praying each time we come here for what revival. We have lost the power. It fell off the stick, and we have the stick in our hand, which represents a form of godliness. But we have lost the power. The ability to free, the ability to cut down immorality, the ability to cut down sin in this country, the ability to deal with the attacks of the enemy. We have, as a church in general, I'm not speaking of the apostolic church per se, I'm talking about every church that you can name. We've lost the power. It is somewhere in the bottom of Jordan River. David said in Psalms 51, verse 11, I think, "Take not thy Holy Spirit from me. Take not thy Holy Spirit from me." David was conscious that the power that resides in him to carry out his duty was vested in God's Spirit being in him. And David, God, not to let him lose the Holy Spirit. Here's what Jesus said in Revelation. Revelation chapter 2. 4 and 5. Listen to what Jesus said. "Nevertheless, I have somewhat against thee, because thou hast left thy first love. Remember, therefore, from whence thou hast fallen, and repent, and do the first work. Or else I will come unto thee quickly and remove thy candlestick out of its place, except thou repent." Jesus speaking. Remember where you are falling. Remember where you are falling. And repent. Jesus said there. What these two scriptures are saying to us? David said, "Take not that Holy Spirit from me." And Jesus said, "Remember from where you have fallen and repent." The prophet, as a result of him losing his access, caused others to stop working and to pay attention to what is happening to him. Thus, the work stopped. The work of God stopped. Because others are joining him in sorrow. Others are sympathizing with him. And he, while others have their axe on their sticks, he has only a stick in his hand. And they join him in looking in the water. Stop the work. But the Bible tells us something very important here. And I want us to pay some attention to it. In verse 5 again, we go. "And as one was falling a beam, the axe head fell into the water, and he cried and said, Alas, Master, for it was borrowed." I would like to dwell there for a little while. Notice others would come and sympathize with him, hence the work stopped. But he did not call for them. He did not call for them. Who did he call for? He called for the Master. Hallelujah. That's why it was so important that the Master goes along with him, or with them. As long as I have my Lord beside me, It is all right. And back up again to say, why did God, who gave the assurance that they should go to Jordan, allow the axe to fall into the water, and hence the work came to a standstill? There are two things that I'd like to look on right here. One, it is possible that we can lose this anointing as one person in the church, and it affects everybody. And a wake-up call has come that all of us would go back to basic and renew our relationship with the Lord, because we have seen and experienced the falling of a brother or the falling of a sister. Listen to what Ephesians, and this is what happened when sometime we have people realize it. Ephesians 4, listen to something here, because Jesus said in Revelation, remember where you are falling. Ephesians 4, verse 20, verse 30. Listen to what this says. And grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby ye are sealed unto the day of redemption. And now we are going to be told from the servant of God what grieving the Holy Spirit means. So I will read verse 30 again. Ephesians 4, verse 30. And grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby ye are sealed unto the day of redemption. That guarantees, the Spirit guarantees our relationship with the Lord right through, as long as we are in full fellowship with Him. But listen to where it might be possible for us to lose the power. Verse 31, let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put out from you with all malice. Last verse, and be kind one to another. The collaboration again, the togetherness. Tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as God, for Christ's sake, had forgiven you. This is where we grieve the Holy Ghost, and we can lose Him, the power that we have. The power that we have, and all we have left is the stick in our hand, but we have lost the power because of this, that we have been told here in Ephesians chapter 4, 31 to 32. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice, and be kind one to another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as God, for Christ's sake, had forgiven you. If we indulge in those things, we are going to lose our power. Our axe is going to fly off. And when that happens, others will be wondering what is happening. And it will give the impression as though the work has stopped, when it was only one person who disobeyed God's word in many hearers as described here. But he cried not only to his fellow workers or his brethren, But he cried to the master who was in the prison, in his prison. And I hasten to say this to all of us, that you heard me talk from time to time on this platform, that it is so important that we have the presence of the Lord with us. You heard me say that over and again. And there are guarantees that we do have the presence of the Lord with us, because you are going to bring him to the service. I take him to the service, because the word tells us he dwells in us. So the fact that we came to the service, it means we brought him to the service. And even if we're not too sure of that, we're taught from the scripture that where two or three are gathered together, he is in the midst. But brethren, while we rejoice with that fact that he is present with us, there is another thing that we should aim for and be steadfast in, and that is not only his presence to be with us, but his manifest presence. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Zephaniah 3 tells us something. That the Lord said, I am in your midst, and I am in your midst to engage in a number of things. Zephaniah chapter 3, I am in your midst to save. I am in your midst to rejoice. I am in your midst to rest in love. I am in your midst to sing. Oftentimes, we rejoice in the presentation of God's servant. We rejoice in our song service because the Lord is in our midst. But there are other areas in which we can experience the manifest presence of the Lord, because he is saying to us, choose us, Zephaniah, I'm not only in your midst for you to know that I'm there, but I'm there to do something. I am there to manifest my presence with you. And that is what we want in every service that we have, be it on this platform or in the four walls. We want to see the manifestation. We want to experience the manifestation of God. Not only to know that he's here, but we need to hear the testimony of healing. We need to hear the testimony of saving grace of God. We need to hear the testimony of deliverance. And of course, we need to continue to rejoice in the presentation of God's word. We need to continue to rejoice as we sing his courses together. But the servant of God cried out, Master! This is where it comes down to us, as Jesus says. Remember where you have fallen. When he cried out, Master! Elisha came and asked him, where did the axe head fell? That is what the servant of God asked. In verse 6, and the man of God said, where fell it? Jesus said in Revelation, remember where you have fallen and repent. One person stopping the work because of the enemy. The enemy seek to pull the head off one person's axe handle. And it caused others out of curiosity to stop and to look to see where it fell. But he did not call them, because he knew the restoration does not lie in them as much as they have good intention. The restoration lies in the Master. Hallelujah, church. And then the servant, this prophet said, Master, it was borrowed. That's why I say to you at the front that we may not have everything. We may not have everything. But we need everyone to start out on this vision. The axe was borrowed. That is what makes it worse. He has now lost the power. And the power was belonging to somebody else. But it was entrusted in him to be used. And I would like to say to all of us here that the power that the church exhibits, the power in all of us, is not ours. The power is borrowed. The power is borrowed. All power is given unto me, Jesus said. Thine is the power. Thine is the glory forever and ever. Amen. Acts chapter 1 verse 8 said, ye shall receive power. It means it was given to us. All power is borrowed from the Lord. I remember 2 Kings chapter 4. A woman came to Elisha and said to him, look, I am in a serious position. The creditors are coming to take my two sons because my husband, who was a prophet, he died. He died and leave us in debt. And they are coming to take my two sons to work out the money that he had owed. Elisha said to her, what is it you have in your house? And she said, only a pot of oil. Elisha said to her, go and borrow some vessels. Go to your neighbors in and around and borrow some vessels for the vision to work. Sometimes it involves other areas that you and I never think. So what did she do? She sent her two sons. And went around and borrowed as much vessel as she possibly could. Now there are so much things around this. Because you're talking about a pot. A pot is a private thing. People don't lend out their pots. But it so happened that the sons came back with both hands filled with pots. Elisha said, you alone, to the woman, you alone, go in. Leave the son outside. And I'm going to be outside as well. But you alone go in. And look at all that you said you have there in that little pot. Fill up every empty pot that came in. After a while, she came out and said, Master, it is done. And there is no more pot. It means if there were more pots, she would have filled. Elisha said to her, now go and sell the oil that you have. And use that money to pay off the debt that your husband had died and left. And the rest of all that you have in the house, live off it for both you and your son. 2 Kings chapter 4, go and read it yourself. Elisha was able to turn this woman's house in a gas station. Alas, Master! It bawled out. Sometimes we need to bawl out before God. We can inform our brothers. We can inform our sisters about our situation. But we need to bawl out before God. I said, Lord, I lost my power. Lord, I lost my ability. The man of God came and said, show me where you, not that he didn't know. But the principle that has been established, tell me where it fell, if you were really paying attention. And he said, there. What did the man of God did? Cut down a stick. That represents the cross. Hallelujah. 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 The word tells us that Jesus has defeated principalities and powers, and he has made a show of them openly. Because of the cross. The servant of God cut down a stick. And he threw it in the water where the axe fell. And contrary to nature. The axe. That heavy piece of metal. Defies gravity. And it swam to the top of the water. And the servant of God said, take it with your hands, with your hand. And the prophet reached out his hand. And he took the axe. He received the power back. Hallelujah, church. He received back the power. Jesus said, you remember where you're falling and repent. In Revelation chapter 2. For you have lost your first love. Then we will receive back our power. I am saying to the church today, I'm saying to all of you who are here, maybe for the first time, I'm saying to all of you who are not a regular visitor too, there is something in the ability of God that should interest you. There is something in the ability of the God that we serve that should interest you. That is, you cannot figure him out. His ways are past finding out. But contrary to you and contrary to me, he is working behind the scene on your behalf. As a result of this restoration, they found new pep in their step to work. Because it gives the entire body of men the assurance that indeed God is with them. To cause the impossible to become possible is a clear indication that the God that we serve operates in the lives and operation of men. This morning, this day, this Sunday, Men's Sunday, sometimes we as men are overwhelmed with situations. We need to what? Bring before God. I am a master. It is borrowed. It is borrowed. We might not have anything to do the work. Some things might have to be borrowed. We need a building tomorrow as a church. We will pay the rent, yes. We are working on that. But we need to borrow a building somewhere in order that God's work continues. We are not going to move because we have everything, but we are going to move because we have everyone. That is collaboration. The women's department came through forcefully to us in indicating that there is a new trust and it calls for collaboration. I was amazed to go to the seminar in Fort Lauderdale and hear the servant of God stress that same word. And Pastor Daly in his last presentation hinted towards it. I believe it is time we move as a church. Every one of us on board, use our telephone, use our influence, use our friends, use our family to try and get a place for us to worship together. God bless this platform and what it has done for us over the years. But the time has come when we need to intensify our efforts as the vision is speaking to us that we should go ahead and the Lord is going to go with us. I bless the name of Jesus and I thank him for the fact that all things are possible with him. And today could be the beginning of a new trust. Let us work together in the vineyard of God. Bless the Lord.